My name is Tiff Davey, and I am the host of the Behind the Collective podcast. This podcast takes you behind the scenes of the Livestock Collective as we share the real stories of those working across agriculture industries, and we hope to empower you to share your story and share maybe a fun fact or two along the way. This episode is part of the Livestock Collective, an Australian Wool Innovation Partner Program. The program is about connecting and supporting WA wool growers by delivering podcasts, webinars and events while attending field days and getting out and about across the regions. The topics on these podcast episodes are based on the feedback we receive in our survey. So if you haven't completed the survey yet, I encourage you to do so. It's on our website to help us work out what topics you want to hear about. Our guest today, Samuel Cockerty. He's the regional manager, Japan and Korea for the Woolmart Company. And of course, we talk all things wool, why you should wear wool, how he sells it, and the process of getting wool worn across the globe. Thank you so much, Samuel, for joining us here. It's crazy. So where I'm sitting on a farm in the Central Wheat Belt in Western Australia, where are you recording this episode?
I am in the AWI office in central Tokyo in a small area that's called Gaienmae, and that's really, really in the middle of the city, very close to a lot of big fashion and sports brands.
Amazing. See, it's amazing like where the world and wool, I suppose, can take us around the world. This is maybe the hardest question of all, but tell us a little bit about you and what you do, and what does the average day look like for you?
Sure. So my name is Samuel Cockerty. I am the regional manager for the Woolmart Company, looking after the Japanese and the Korean markets. We have 6 people in Japan and 4 in Korea. And I split my time between Japan and Korea, but on a daily basis, I am based in Tokyo. I'm French. You can probably tell by the accent. Hopefully, you can understand me okay. I've been in Japan for 24 years. I've been with AWI for 9.5 years. So almost a decade now. And so I studied in France. I studied international business and business administration. And I wanted to see the world, and I wanted to experience Japan. And I came here for an internship and liked it so much, I never left.
I love that. So you're there amongst all of these fashion brands. That's 10 people who are in charge of getting Australia's wool into Japan and Korea. That's a big job. What do you do? How do you do that?
It is. And I'll tell you what we do. A lot of what we do is really business development. Right. So our mission is to increase the demand for Australian merino wool and increase the awareness. And there's a number of ways you can do that, but mostly it's engaging with the brands. So you were asking me earlier, how do we spend all days? It's a lot of meetings. It's just getting out there, meeting people, especially in Asia, face-to-face meetings are quite important. And just make sure they understand the opportunities with wool. There's really 2 ways. Either they don't use wool, and a lot of the work we do is just inspiring them to put more wool in the collection or start using it. So that's support with sourcing, with product development, lots of presentations, lots of seminars. So they actually understand, you know, a lot of people actually don't have that much in-depth knowledge about fibers anymore. And it's quite surprising. But if you look at the current generation of young designers and product developers and merchandisers in Japanese and Korean companies, they are 35, 40 years old. And we find that anyone over 45, 50, they understand where things come from. And that goes beyond fiber. And it's the same thing with food, for example. But the younger generation, those are very urban countries. And I think there's a big disconnect with where things come from. So a lot of people just, you know, feel that wool is just another fiber, but they don't really understand everything, that the amazing story that lies behind it. And so it's really our job to educate them. And you know, it's great because it's very rewarding, because every time we talk to people, we start and say, well, you know, there's cotton and there's synthetics and we're happy with all of that. And there's wool, of course, but wool is, you know, this and that. And every time we finish the presentation, they're amazed. And they become fans and they love it and they want to try to use it. So I kind of think of ourselves as the wool embassy, if you want. And we're just really here to show the good things and tell the story of the wool growers in Australia. So encouraging brands to use wool is one thing. The other thing is, if they're already using it, make sure that they actually promote it. And, you know, to us, wool is everything, because this is what we live and breathe. This is what we think about all day. But for brands, we know wool is about 1% of all fibers in the world using apparel, the apparel industry. Japan and Korea, those are much more affluent markets. So the percentage is higher, but still in a collection. For most brands, wool is not the main fiber. So it would make more sense naturally that they would go and promote something else where they have more product. So this is where we come in and we build business cases with them. And we basically tell them, let's do a campaign together. Do a wool promotion campaign and we show you, you know, A plus B that you're going to yield much, much bigger results than if you don't promote. And sometimes it takes a while to, you know, convince them and get them to understand what we're trying to achieve. But every time we do it, you know, of course it works well. Of course we measure everything. We measure the sales uplift, the sales through, you know, how the sales evolved before and during the campaign, awareness, how many people clicked on the website, all of that. And we make sure that the brands that we cooperate with, of course, increase the number of food products, season on season. And so the idea is to show them that if you do promote wool, there are so many different angles. You can talk about sustainability. You can talk about provenance. You can talk about how to care for your wool. You can talk about the Woolmark certification. You can talk about the many, many benefits. You can talk about eco-credentials. And you can go for a long time, but just people are not aware. Mm. So that's really our job, convince people to use wool and convince them to promote it.
So you talk about the story. So you go into these boardrooms and you tell the story of wool. What story are you actually telling them, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it's always kind of a sales job, right? So you have to kind of read the room and you do your homework before you go in, and you already kind of have a sense of what they may be interested in. And some brands, they will really care about traceability and transparency and provenance. Some brands may care about provenance, but just for marketing purposes. They just want to show their customers beautiful visual and something inspiring. Some brands, we've done a lot of work with sports and outdoors brands, and I'll talk more about that. But obviously, they would care much more about performance and benefits, and maybe not so much about the sustainability story. But again, it depends on the brands. I was just talking about sports. It's been very interesting because I told you I joined nine years and a half ago, and for the first few years, we kept approaching all the big sports brands, the largest groups. So we have this strategy where basically we list all the biggest relevant groups in each category that we feel could be using wool because the price point is all right, and you know, and we just go and talk to them. And it's not always easy because you don't necessarily have a connection, so you have to open the door. And then we talk and we meet, we engage, and you know, there's just many things that we can bring to them in terms of value add. And we were talking with all these sports brands, making presentations, showing them examples, and no one, you know, very Japanese style, they say, yeah, this is great, we'll think about it. And we just never get a call back. And then COVID hit. And very interestingly, right after the end of COVID, everyone called us back. And they said, you know, can you come back? Can you make another presentation? Or can we come to you and see all your samples, you know, in your showroom again? And that's worked really well. So it took a while, but now almost all of them are using wool products. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, it starts small, but sometimes not so small. So we've worked with Mizuno, for example. We started last year. And they launched last winter a first collection of very heavy base layers. That was the warmest and the most expensive and the most premium of their base layers lines. And Mizuno is the second largest sports group in Japan. So very, very big partner for us. And that worked very well. That was the first time they were using wool. We helped them with the product development. We helped them with the sourcing. We helped them with the marketing. They loved it. And so this summer, a few months ago, they launched another product, which is a 365 t-shirt. So the concept is a wool t-shirt that you can wear in many different occasions year round. Great, great concept. And so we helped them with that as well. And now they are launching a third line, which is a medium weight base layer following, and they're still selling the other two. So we went from zero product lines with wool, pretty much 12 months or 6 months, 16 months ago, to three right now. So that's really the kind of work that we do. We also, I can tell you, in Japan this winter, we will have 7 consumer-facing campaigns. So we have Mizuno, we have Goldwyn, which is also a big sports brand. We're going to work with some of the largest apparel groups. And when I say groups, actually each group would be working between 8 and 12 brands. So I'm not going to name all of them. Mm. But we work, for example, with Onward, which is the depending on the years, the third or the second largest apparel group in Japan. So again, it's massive. We're talking hundred thousand products or more. So we're going to work with them for a big campaign that's going to be online, but also in their stores, and they have hundreds of stores. We're going to work with a number of other partners, and we will also work with Rakuten Fashion. So Rakuten Fashion is quite interesting. It belongs to the Rakuten Group. Rakuten Group is the largest e-commerce platform in Japan. It's the Amazon of Japan.
Yeah, right.
And they developed the Amazon of Fashion, which is you know, aptly named Rakuten Fashion. We've worked with them twice in a row, and now we are working on the soon-to-be-launched third campaign this winter. But I can tell you a little bit about the outcomes of last year's campaign. That was 2 million products promoted, over 750 brands involved, and I think $22 million generated in value. So that was a massive campaign. The objective of that campaign was twofold, and this is quite typical of what we try to achieve when we select partners here. One was, of course, sales, right? So you go for a massive partner, they move a lot of product, so clearly it has an impact. But also awareness, because that platform is so big and they tend to have younger customers, and we really, really need to educate them. Mm. It's also kind of an advertising campaign in itself, because lots of people are going to see it. And for us, reaching the younger consumers is quite a challenge. So we're in Korea, and sorry, I didn't speak about Korea, but we're going to have 4 campaigns in Korea. We'll also work with the largest e-commerce fashion platform there this winter. So similar type of campaign, very, very large, very massive campaign, lots of brands involved. The partner is called Mushinza, but we will also work with suits brands, very premium, kind of like the Korean Paul Smith. It's called Cambridge Members. We will also work with a very premium apparel group called Shinsegae. The campaign is already live. It's 4 women's wear and men's wear brands. And we also work with TaylorMade for golf wear. And I think one thing, you know, for everyone who's listening, that it's important to mention about Japan and Korea. Those are very mature, very affluent, very dense, and very competitive markets. So some people look at certain markets and they say, oh, it's plus 5% GDP every year. How exciting. Japan and Korea are not like that, because they're already on top, you know, and it's maybe it's a plateau, but it's a high one. And everyone loves fashion.
Yeah, and I still believe like that the suit is still in over there, isn't there? Because they are more affluent. Like the suit is still a thing. People still wear suits.
Those are quite conservative in a way. It's, you know, it's not what it used to be. So also part of our role is to understand where the market is going and try and push in the right directions. That's why we invest a lot of time and resources in developing new avenues, sports, outdoors. But there are other things we want to explore, uniforms, for example. So that's that new business development part is also a big part of what we do. But also because, so the great thing is those are affluent markets, very educated, and we're lucky because people know what wool is, right? You know, they like it. They've been purchasing it for a long time. So that's very good because you have this strong base, and the brands are also, they are willing to willingly reduce their margins and keep a good percentage of wool in collection because they care about the quality of their products. So that's great for us. But at the same time, we have, and that's a global thing probably, we have very young generations that grew up with fast fashion only.
So is that why it's hard to tap into that young generation, because they have just access to so much more? So it's the same over there in Japan and Korea as across the world, fast fashion. You know,
it's a big issue. A big issue because it's so convenient and they don't feel bad about it. And so we have to work hard to educate that generation. And fortunately, I would say they're quite easy to reach. We know where they live in a way, you know, with digital and social media, we know how to do it. But at the same time, it's a very, very competitive space. And this is why it's so important that we keep doing what we're doing, because at the end of the day, we're a small part of the very large industry. Everyone wants those consumers' attention. There are many, many large brands with, you know, tons of resources to do big campaigns that are vying for their attention and their hard-earned yen or won for Korea. And so to remain relevant, we have to keep partnering with brands and do the kind of collaborations I was saying before. We have to keep engaging.
When, like, from the start of having, you said over COVID, you know, there was a big gap, but they came back eventually to continue the conversation about using wool. But how long on average does it take from having that first conversation, showing them, you know, what it, whatever it is you show them, telling them that story? Could it be years? Is it normal?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Like large conservative corporations could be 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
But we crack them in the end. We have an amazing team in Japan and Korea. And the whole, you know, I'm going to preach for my own church here, but I think everyone is in globally is working very, very hard. Yeah. And you know, the team here is entirely Japanese and Korean. They've been to Australia, most of them, not all of them, but they love what they do. You know, they really stand behind the industry. I'm looking to hire a person now, and some candidates come to us and they say, we believe in the mission. We want to support that industry because we can see this is something really good and worth, you know, protecting and promoting. And that's really how we feel. We really, really enjoy working in that industry and working on behalf of the Uyghurs, because we believe in it. You know, it's a great product. There's no lie in it. You don't, it feels great when you can actually go and make a presentation and know that the product you're showing and that you're presenting is actually, on all accounts, amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you think, like I've seen, and if anyone listening who hasn't gone and watched some of the recent campaigns to really push down and like highlight how bad fast fashion is, they should. But do you think, you know, through the work you guys are doing, there is this young market base coming through that are more interested in that? Like, where is the market heading over there for wool? I know, like, my generation here in Australia, we're like, right, we need to be more conscious as to what we're buying. Do you feel that there's going to be a flow of effect, or do you think there's going to be an increased demand for wool in what you're doing?
I think, you know, people like, it's not going to be, what's going to drive the demand for wool is not necessarily immediately the demand for more sustainable products. It's help us. That's important. But I think Japan and Korea even more so are a little bit behind in on that conversation regarding sustainability. And truthfully, even if you look in the West, people talk about it. But if you actually look at what they're really buying, you know. But
Amazon, going back to Amazon, you know, we all love the idea of being sustainable. But then you see everyone in their Amazon packages every day.
Exactly, right? So this is what people say and this is what they actually buy. But people want just good quality products. And I think people are just becoming, and maybe, you know, in the end, even if you have some economic hardships and even inflation, it makes people reflect. And this is exactly what happened with COVID as well. Why did they come out of COVID and wanted to try wool where they were not using it before? Because there was a new need for wellness, for well-being, also maybe for meaning that it was not there before. It was a little bit more superficial. And now when people maybe have tighter budgets, they start to think really hard. Sure, is it good for the planet? But can I keep that product for a long time? Am I really going to enjoy it? You know, am I going to be wearing that for the next 5 or 10 years? Or is it going to be 6 months? Do I really need that? Mm. And when you start asking those questions without just an educated customer questions, you know, it's just the smart way to spend your money, really. This is common sense. When you go back to that, we'll start making a lot of sense.
Yeah. Do you think growers here in Australia, we were talking earlier about how you've been able to come to Australia and see farmers. I don't think farmers have any idea what the role they play in the fashion industry, actually. That it's so important. Wool is important for fashion. Like,
the last bastion holding the fort of, you know, actual beautiful versatile, you know, natural fiber. And what else? if not full. And I think having been there, just lots of people, especially lots of customers, people who buy wood, a lot of them, they live in cities, right? Like I say, it's very urban, at least in my markets, Japan and Korea. And people have no idea of the landscape and the life and the industry and what it actually means, where it's coming from. And when you see it, it's so inspiring. It's amazing. And I strongly believe that if you could ever fly every single customer to and do a farm visit and see it for their own eyes, you would have lifetime converts and everyone would be buying wood and nothing else. Because when you realize, people imagine a farm, you know, and maybe they imagine like this big warehouse with like animals crammed in there. And this is just the exact opposite. It's the dream. Like this is what every urban dweller dreams of, you know. So it's very inspiring as well as the landscape and the lifestyles and the values that come with wool growing are also very, very inspiring and aspiring for consumers.
And so what would be your favorite thing about wool?
I think for me, I like that it's versatile and I like that it's long lasting.
Yeah.
Like I've started running quite recently and we developed this trail running t-shirt with a brand called Godwin. And I've been running with it every time and it's just amazing. And, you know, once you try it, I think one of the challenges we have, especially for new market like sports, is everyone who tries it loves it. Same thing with wool socks, right? But you have to try it once. But once people try it, they only wear that. You know, they just go back to the store and keep buying more and they don't want to go back to anything else. So just having people try it the first time, it's a big, big step.
And going back to what you were saying just before, so it is a part of what you guys do, though. You do take some of your big clients that come to Australia out to farms, don't you?
So we will support trips. We don't pay for them because we just, you know, we don't have budgets.
They can pay for themselves then.
You know, typically we encourage them very much to go there. And then we have our amazing team in Sydney and that will support and arrange those visits. Sometimes we do visit with them, but it's quite rare.
Yeah, because it would be such a incredible.
I'd love to.
For those sitting in Japan or Korea to come across to an Australian farm and actually see it for themselves.
But you know, we do it, but we are very strategic about it. I can tell you, for example, right now, the CEO of Hearst Japan. So Hearst is a very big media group. They own Harper's Bazaars and Elle, Esquire, and a number of other publications, of course, here in Japan. And we did present to him and his fashion editors through a series of webinars over the summer. And he liked it very much. And he reached out a few weeks ago saying, well, I'm going to go to Australia. I really, really would like to meet with your colleagues in AWI because I find the way you guys promote the sustainable messaging very inspiring. I want to learn from you. And I really, really would like to visit a farm. So we are arranging that for him. And that's at no cost to us. And again, he's the CEO of this really big media group and with dozens of magazines and we already have trained their editors. So that's going to trickle. This is just in-kind support that we provide as well.
Yeah. And well, I suppose it's really important, even though you've got a small team, by the sounds of it, quite mighty in both Japan and Korea, to be there on the ground doing, yes, having conversations, you know. Yeah. Well, it's so important. So, like, what do you wish Aussie farmers, if you could tell them out here growing their wool, well, not really the wool, but just raising their sheep, what message do you want them to know? What do you wish they knew?
Well, keep doing what you're doing because you're in the right place. And I know it can be really hard. And it's frustrating for us too. You know, we go and we talk to brands, just be reassured. We work really hard and we have teams that are really dedicated and they believe in it and they work hard to represent you. And we go to brands and sometimes it's disheartening because sometimes they don't hear us. But eventually, because I've seen the progression over the years and even people that wouldn't even meet us, now they actually use a lot of wool. So there's a lot of goodwill once people understand, you know, what the industry is. So stay positive, keep doing what you're doing, keep you know, integrating all the best practices in terms of sustainability, because this is something that is coming. Like I said, Japan is a little bit behind. We're also keeping a close eye on all upcoming regulatory changes. We're part of a number of committees just to understand and hear where it's all going is going to happen, same as it's happening in Europe. But we think there's a bright future, because not only we have a strong existing consumer base here, but I think the modes of consumption, the way people consume, will evolve, and towards more sustainability, but also towards more reasoned, smarter way of spending your money. And that's going to benefit us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've touched on it, but in summary, the wool market in Japan and Korea, you think it's on the right track?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It is. I mean, we see, again, just in seeing all these sports brands that were not using wool, suddenly, and Korea is the same. So in 1 year, we got 5 or 6 brands, major brands, suddenly that are all doing small trials, starting T-shirts and hard shells, you know, outer layers. It's really exciting, and how to see all these new conversations. And also, we can see now the more conservative or the legacy fashion brands that are also much more keen to promote wool. So clearly, there's a lot of interest, and they're really valuing it. You know, it's such a competitive market, fashion, that brands, they need to differentiate. It's a matter of survival, right? So I think Japan was very comfortable because it's a closed market, right? It's an island. So for a long time, they didn't have to try too hard to make a lot of money. But it's not the case anymore, because they got new entrants, they got foreign competition, they got fast fashion like Uniqlo, they got Zara here. So they really have to make it special now. And that's an opportunity for us as well, because we can go also and tell them, say, you guys, you don't need to reinvent the wheel here. We're not asking you to change anything. You already have the wool. You're just not talking about it, right? So you already use these great products. Just tell the story to your consumers, educate them. You'll sell more, and you'll be able to make more next year. There's no question. And we've seen it. You know, we track every collaboration. It does work. So you do that once, you do that twice. Now, I'll tell you another thing. The strategy we have when we work with partners, we never tell them, oh, we want to do one campaign. We tell them we want to do 3 campaigns in a row. Of course, if you're happy and we're happy, but they're always happy. They come back, right? And we want continuity. And that's just the way to educate consumers, because they see you with one brand once, or maybe they didn't the first time, but they see you the second time. And the third time, they're like, yeah, okay. You know, they really will make the association, the connection with that brand, with that brand with a great positioning, and the Merino wool and the Australian wool and the wool mark certification as well. So yeah, it does work.
And I think, well, storytelling, like about wool, but I think about the industry overall, there's always a place for it, isn't it? We go on and on and on about how important it is, about how important it is for growers to tell their story, whether that's to a domestic market, the international market, to the neighbor or the Uber driver. But that's, I suppose, another thing I've taken away from chatting to you is it's just so important. You never know if you've, you know, on a plane sitting next to a young fashion designer, if they're under 35, as you said, they're most likely not to have the origin, like understanding of where fiber, which I find mind-boggling, but that's so interesting. So I think it's something we always talk about within the industry, and it's still so relevant, particularly, yeah, for wool as well.
Well, you know, I think one thing we have to be conscious of, because we are in the wool industry, this is all we think about, right? So we know, as a matter of fact, but we really have to remind ourselves that it's a wide, wide world, and many people just do not know. And it's no one's fault. It's such a big market. I mean, it's a global market that we have to educate and keep educating, because you have new generations coming in. And like I said, there's so much messaging geared towards consumers that you have to work hard, and you have to work consistently to make sure that your message gets across. Otherwise, it gets lost in the noise. But then, like I said, I think once we get our message across, we're not like other brands, because other brands, it's just come and go, right? Just buy it and move on and think about something else. Will I get people randomly, I've been completely random conversation, even non-professional conversations, tell me, I got this experience with wool, or I remember this about wool, or I saw this in a newspaper, or I saw a campaign and that really struck a chord with me, and I really remember that. And I think there's an emotional connection that people can make with wool that they can't make with other fibers, and they can't make with many other products, actually.
Yeah, that's so true. That is so true. Now, that's incredible. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed chatting to you. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, it's been a pleasure. Please come and visit us. We're happy to.
I would love to. I honestly am like working same as you. We're slightly biased, but I have since working on this project, like got more of an affiliation for war and an appreciation. So I've become fascinated by the whole thing. So no, thank you so much. I definitely would love to.
Anytime.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you so much for listening today. The Livestock Collective is a non-for-profit aimed at providing information and capacity building within the supply chain. Our education projects include our website, social media, attending events across the country, capacity building projects, including leadership workshops, and things like this podcast. If you know someone you want to hear from, send us their way. And if you value what the Livestock Collective does, subscribe to us and to continue to support the work we do in sharing your story.